In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. When we imagine the upper room, towel, basin, bread, wine, the words of the Lord, we likely imagine a place of beauty and peace. Read Scripture more closely, though, not only John's Gospel, as we heard, read the three synoptic evangelists too, and you will find that this room is a room of questions and confusion. Confusion among the guests, that is. Not among the host of the Passover feast. Rising from supper, our Lord, the host, divested his outer garment, tied a towel around his waist, and assumed the task of a household servant washing the feet of his guests. Peter, the first among the disciples, is the first to utter questions in the upper room. The first of many questions that will follow this night. Lord, do you wash my feet? Questions then circulate about a mole among the 12. A betrayer is in their midst, seated at the same table. Who is it? Which one among us around this table who walked 3 whole years with Jesus of Nazareth? Which one that heard the Sermon on the Mount, witnessed the exorcism of demons, marveled at the healing of lepers and blind men, digested all the kingdom parables, watched Jesus calm the sea and walk across the water? Which one of us now betrays the Lord into the hand of his enemies? This is the same night, the same room, when Peter asks Jesus, "Where are you going?" When Thomas asks, "How can we know the way?" When Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough." When the 12 collectively ask, "What does he mean when he says, 'A little while, and you will see me no longer'?" It is a room of questions, a room of confusion for the 12 gathered around their host. Here and now they are gathered. Soon they will scatter. The Lord who washed his disciples' feet says to them, "Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone." This is a strange night. A night that doesn't make sense in the moment as the events unfold themselves. And the upper room is actually a strange place too. If you bring your worldly assumptions of how the kingdom ought to come in power, you'll be terribly disoriented. And yet, what happens in this room on this night, in fact, is the only way to make sense of the world. What happens here is the only way to make sense of the kingdom of God. This is the night of three institutions, three pillars of Jesus' church to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. A new ritual. Serve one another. Wash one another's feet. A new sacrament. Feast on Christ's body and blood. These are the only three pillars that make sense of the world. Only these three restore God's original intent for his good world. And they, the guests, the disciples, they will not grasp, they will not understand, they will not fulfill these commands tonight, this night of three institutions. And Jesus knows this, as sure as he knows that his hour has come. He teaches the new commandment, washes their feet, feeds them with his body and blood with the full knowledge, that when he, the good shepherd, is struck, the sheep will scatter. And still he gives. He gives these three treasures of his kingdom into the hands of his friends. Friends who don't understand. Friends who will abandon him. The friends for whom he will die. Whom he loves with all his heart. So let us thank God that our Lord gave us these institutions, these commands, this mandate to love in word and action from which we derive the day's name, Maundy, Thursday. Let's give thanks for these because it's through these means that our Lord, he will shape us into his likeness. And he's going to shape us into his likeness even more so on the other side of shameful failure. If we were to judge the success of these three wonderful, beautiful institutions based on their effectiveness that first night, we would have to render this night a catastrophic failure. Well, it began with such promise. On the shores of Galilee, fishermen called to be apprentices of Jesus of Nazareth, tax collectors who left their toll booths to come learn true justice and righteousness. That promise now has been dashed against the rocks of their cowardice and abandonment. Or has it? Has the Lord revoked his pledge? That these very ones who abandoned him, betrayed him, failed him, has he revoked that pledge that they would still be the trustees of these holy things? No, he has not. And it strains credulity. It suggests madness that he would entrust holy things into the hands of such fickle and fearful men and then throw in the element of divine foreknowledge. That Jesus knew this would happen. He knew it even while a towel was wrapped around his waist, while he served bread and wine. You have to wonder what irrationality seized him. Only this. A manic love for those he had chosen. A manic love for them. For those who would abandon him. The only logic of this kingdom is that love logic which the church fathers understood of our Lord. He has a manic love for his people. A manic love to serve them. A manic love to lay down his life for them. A manic love to restore them from their most abject failure, their most shameful memory, which was the rejection of himself. The Lord Jesus entrusted these holy things into their hands. Precisely, we might say, because his grace would be most glorious, his forgiveness most wonderful, the power of reconciliation most evident on the other side of their failure. Think of it. When does Peter find restoration from his betrayal? It's when the risen Lord serves him again. Serves him breakfast. And then asks him three times to pledge his love anew for the Lord. And it was a love that could only be manifest. How? In serving others. The ones the Lord loves. And so the love commandment remains. The towel and the basin remain. The bread and chalice remain. These were not singular moments, a one chance only event, a pass or fail moment to prove our devotion to Jesus. No, they are institutions, and thank God for it. Thank God that our Lord instituted his church not on emotional experience, not on willpower, but on the strong pillars of sacrament, of mystery, of service, and of self-emptying love. And so for all who drown in the abyss of their failures. Taste and see tonight that there's an ocean of mercy in the chalice that our Lord blesses. For those who have crashed into their presumptuous pride yet again, after resolving not to, well, kneel down tonight and take your place beside the towel and basin. For these are institutions of our Lord's manic love for us, that by becoming partakers of this sacrament, this ritual, this command, not once, but again and again and again, after faithfulness, and even more so after our failure, we might be seized by his love that is stronger than death. And being seized by so great a love that we who are forgiven, restored, and redeemed, that we too might be consumed with a crazy love for our fellow sinners, for whom Christ died. And a love most of all for God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.